I can almost picture these two men in the temple offering their daily prayers. The Pharisees standing in the middle of everybody, looking up to the heavens, talking directly to God. And the tax collector, off in a corner by himself, bowed down and humbled, beating his breast and asking for God's mercy. We don't know what time of day it is in this story, but there may have been others praying in the temple also. If a person was devout, he would pray two or three times a day, in the morning, in the evening, and at noon. Not everyone went to the temple to pray, but prayers offered in the temple were believed to be more effective. Jesus' story is about two of these men who did go to the temple to pray. Today, in the 21st century, we automatically assume that the tax collector is the good guy and the Pharisee is the bad guy. After all, that's what Jesus held out, or that's what the writer of Luke held out in the story, in the first verse and the last verse. And Jesus often held out Pharisees as examples of bad people. They were self-righteous, many were self-righteous, many were judgmental, and he associated with tax collectors and sinners. He hung out with them. They were his friends. Besides, like I said, this is how the writer of the Gospel of Luke introduced the story. If we consider the context of where Jesus was speaking, first century Palestine, the Pharisee would have been considered the good guy. The Pharisee in this story was righteous. He strictly observed the law. He did more than what was required of him. According to Jewish law, there was one day of fasting required every year, the Day of Atonement. Today it is called Yom Kippur and was observed by our Jewish neighbors just a couple of weeks ago. Those who were trying to earn special merit would fast twice a week, typically on the days that the markets were open. To show everybody how pious they were and that they were fasting, they would often whiten their faces, they would dress in disheveled clothing, and they looked like they were suffering. And in addition, according to the Levitical laws, the Jewish laws, the Levites were supposed to receive a tithe of all of a man's produce. Our Pharisee not only tithed his produce, but he went beyond that and tithed a tenth of all of his income. He went over and above what the law required. He was obeying the law and then some. He would have been held as an example of right living in the first century. He was righteous, right with God. And when it came to following the law, it's important to note that Jesus didn't give him a blanket condemnation. Like Jesus, he fasted, and he gave away a tenth of his income. There are other places in the scriptures where Jesus praises this kind of generosity. And there are times when Jesus dined with the Pharisees, and some were even his followers. This Pharisee, it's important to remember, was not all bad. Tax collectors, on the other hand, were not held in high regard in the first century. Ancient Palestinian tax collectors were not like contemporary Internal Revenue agents paid to enforce the law. They were franchisees of a corrupt and Byzantine system that gouged the poor and enriched the wealthy. The tax collector, by definition a wealthy man, paid the empire a set amount for the privilege of gathering whatever he could squeeze from his neighbors. Although he was personally responsible for the money owed by his district, he was free to collect that money any way he wanted to, and anything he collected over and above that amount, he was able to keep as his profit. Tax collectors were frequently foreigners and often farmed out their responsibilities to others, which created a perfect pyramid scheme of draft. Just as Jesus did not give the Pharisee a blanket condemnation, he did not give the tax collector a blanket praise because he asked mercy for what was wrong. Neither of these men was guiltless. What Jesus condemned in the Pharisee was pride. He was proud of his actions and believed they made him different from other people. He thought he was better than them, better than the tax collector, who was also praying in the temple, because he followed the law, and he even went beyond the law, so he must be better. The Pharisee was proud, and he enjoyed the recognition that he received. He put himself above others instead of equal to them. I wonder how often we tend to do the same things. Most people like being recognized for doing a good job, for going the extra mile. People often get awards for doing good things. A student may get a scholarship. An employee may get a pay raise or a bonus. A volunteer may get a trophy or an award. Don't get me wrong. These aren't bad things. What I'm saying is that we need to keep things in perspective and realize that we did not do these things on our own. We accomplished them, just as the Pharisee did, with God's help and God's grace. This was the difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee was praying to God and telling him what he was doing. "Look, God, I'm doing all these wonderful things. I deserve a place in heaven. I'm doing what you're telling me to do. I'm following the law." It was all about him. He disassociated himself from God and anyone else who may have helped him along the way. God seemed to have no role at all in what was happening in the Pharisee's life. While the tax collector was praying to God and asking for God's mercy and telling him what he had already done, that he had made mistakes, and that he needed God's help. He knew he was a sinner, just like the rest of us. Jesus praised the humility of the tax collector's confession and his trust in God's mercy, but he didn't condone the actions that led him to make this confession. Today's gospel reading is about humility. It's about being justified. But what does that mean? The tax collector understood that he needed God's help to become righteous. It wasn't something he could do on his own. He knew the way the Pharisee knew that the way the tax collector knew that the way that he was treating people was wrong, and he threw himself on God's mercy. The Pharisee, on the other hand, trusted himself for his own righteousness, and the tax collector trusted in God for righteousness. Neither one did anything to earn God's grace and mercy. None of us do either. It was freely given to them. The Pharisee had forgotten. In Romans 5, Paul says that God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in Ephesians 2, he assures us, "For grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Our justification is the recognition of our guilt and shame, resulting in the confirmation of our forgiveness and our reception of God's righteousness. One of the hallmarks of the Protestant Reformation, and we're going to be celebrating that Reformation, the 500th anniversary of that Reformation over the next year, is the concept of sola gratia, which asserts that we are justified by God's grace alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. It's the only means by which we inherit the righteousness of Christ. To suggest that we can be justified by any other means is to reject the free grace of God. How do you pray? Are you like the Pharisee or like the tax collector? When you talk to God, Is it all about you? Or is it your time of prayer? Is it an opportunity for you to connect with God? An opportunity to express your love and adoration of God? An opportunity to thank God for the blessings that you have received? An opportunity to confess your sins, to share your heart with God, to say that you have made mistakes and that you have faults, and to make your wants and wishes known to God. As you go through your day, do you ever find yourself thinking that you are better than somebody else, or maybe worse than somebody else? The next time you go shopping or out to a restaurant, look the person, the salesperson or your waiter in the face. Make eye contact with them. Say hello to them. Call them by name. Most people anymore have a name badge on. Let that person know that you believe in your heart that you are equals. Their job may or may not seem as important as yours, but I bet their hopes and dreams, and yes, even their problems, are not so different. Remember, we are all created in God's image and are all equal in the sight of God. The Pharisees in today's story forgot to love his neighbor as himself. He forgot that his neighbor was not just the person living next door or down the street, but also the people in the next city, the next state, or even halfway around the world. He was so focused on himself that he forgot about what God had done for him. Are you like the Pharisee or the tax collector? Or perhaps a bit of both? There is good news in today's story. Each and every one of us is a sinner and a beloved child of God. We have been invited into the experience of the tax collector. Invited into the experience, the freedom of thinking we can do it ourselves, and instead throwing ourselves into the arms of God, who is already there, who has already found us, who wants more than anything to lift us up and lead us home. Remember, sola gratia. Amen.